And welcome to the Watcher's Guide to the Marvel Universe.
I'm Adam.
And I'm JR.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, yeah. Happy Father's Day.
And to you.
Thank you. So yeah, a lot happened in the two weeks we were away.
Yeah, apologies for having to take that week off. I got hit pretty hard with life, with the life stick, as they say. Yeah. But yeah. My computer crashed last week and I had to end up repairing it, so.
Well, this is what you get for hanging around the sluttier websites on the internet.
Yeah.
Don't be a fool, wrap your dongle. So let's get right into it. First of all, I want to say, I know this isn't normally in our purview, but what about Trump, huh? No, I'm joking.
Great. Okay.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. We both saw Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
Right?
How did that happen?
I do not know.
Wonder Woman is one of those characters that, I believe to both of us, has just, like, no one's ever known how to handle her. Like, there's a toolkit there that is unfamiliar. It's like opening an IKEA box with no instructions.
Right.
And everyone tries to cobble something different together and usually just gets a mess.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those things that it's like in the old 52, I guess, she was maybe hooking up with Batman. And now in the new 52, she was Ben Superman's girlfriend.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, that's not doing the character any favors.
Right.
You know, she's hero in her own right.
Right. I mean, I like the Wonder Woman Batman tension, but not them actually like being together. I like how the animated series does that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying that Wonder Woman can't have relationships.
Right, but that's not the focus.
She's more than just a hole for Superman to stick it into. But anyway, on to other news. Adam West died.
Yeah, very, very sad.
Right.
I did have the pleasure of meeting him one time.
Yeah, which is a very cute story.
I don't need to tell it here again, but that's on my Facebook.
But yeah, very, personally, I was never, like, I'm fine with Adam West, but, you know, by the same token, I was never like, yeah, Adam West, or anything like that.
I really, really was. I watched Batman a lot when I was a kid, and it was real Batman. Like, yeah. I didn't know that it was a comedy when I was young, so I thought that it was just like, oh, Batman versus this villain this week, you know?
Yeah.
Or today, mm-hmm. rather, because they were in reruns, and so it would be...
Daily.
Be every day, yeah.
Yeah.
On TV Land or whatever.
But, so in terms of Marvel news, they dropped the Black Panther teaser trailer.
Uh-huh. It looks pretty great.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Black Panther's another one of those, like Wonder Woman, that not a lot of people know how to use the toolkit.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm apprehensive about is not this movie. It's the franchise as a whole. I don't know how they're going to continue it past the first movie, because they use every single one of his villains in this one.
Yeah,
I don't know if they even intend on doing more than one movie. But if they do, they're going to be stretching, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. And then, you know, and we talked about Black Panther and the crew being canceled.
Yeah.
now I guess World of Wakanda has been canceled as well. Which leaves just the main Black Panther title, I believe. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I just... It seems like, generally speaking, ahead of a movie, at this point they're trying to ramp up. And instead they're kind of pulling back.
There's a mess of problems that Marvel has. Chief amongst them is their flood the shelves strategy, I think. And, like, there should never have been a Black Panther in the crew or a World of Wakanda in the first place. There should be one Black Panther book. There should be one Avengers book. There should be one Captain America or Spider-Man or whatever book. But there's dozens of each. They have 90 titles on the shelf. It's insane. Like, why would you think that you're not going to cancel some of these? And so, like, I don't know. Beyond that, I can't speak to the quality of it. But I can tell you that it doesn't matter if it's good or not. That book was basically destined to be canceled with the way that they run things.
That's fair. You know, I am very behind on current Marvel. For one thing, because Marvel Unlimited doesn't add books until like 6 months after. But also just because, you know, I just don't have the money right now to be dropping on it. So,
If I hear about a good run, and like 6 months is a good lead time, if I hear about a good run, I will, I will basically go and check that out later.
Yeah. But, so then, what else? Marvel Legacy is an upcoming storyline that involves introducing the Avengers of what the fuck ever BC, which is made up of, like, Odin, Agamotto, and a bunch of legacy characters, like an old Iron Fist, an old Black Panther, an old Ghost Rider, stuff like that. There's not really a ton right now to go off of, other than they say that the series will somehow show how all of this connects up. What I found interesting was the quote by, I forget who it was by, but somebody in the article was saying, not only will this be the catalyst for Marvel evolving and moving forward, but expect it to be the spark that will ignite the industry as a whole. And
well, maybe manage expectations, guys.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying, you know, you and I have talked about this. I'm not saying that the marketing department has to come out and be like, this does not matter. You can skip it. Whatever. Right. It's here. Read it or don't. But, like, don't... Given the way some of their recent stuff has gone...
Yeah.
Don't hype it that much. Like, don't try and sell me the sun and stars and then turn around and give me Civil War 2. You know?
Especially with your track record of late.
Kevin Feige has denied rumors that the Fantastic Four will be appearing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
We'll see.
Yeah, I know you're a big proponent of that whole idea. I'm not saying they're not. All I'm saying is, if they are, then they are playing it very close to the chest, because Kevin Feige has categorically said there are no plans for Fantastic Four right now. By the same token, like, after what happened with Fanforstic, I can see why they might not be in a hurry. But, you know, whatever. And then the last thing I've got is James Galton, who was president and CEO of Marvel from the 70s through the early 90s, died on June 12th. And he is credited for preventing Marvel from going under in the 70s.
Oh.
So, yeah, a very sad moment. I suggest reading a lot, an obituary of him, because he had a lot of things going on that are very interesting that we won't get into, but he did a lot of charity work. He did a lot. He believed in comics as well, believed in them as an art form, and so a lot of his decisions as president and CEO were based upon that. So, yeah.
Very cool.
So, the reading this week. All right, so Avengers Annual Number 1.
Yeah. Oh, boy, this week. This is a rough week.
Yeah, I had a really hard time with my top five this week.
I did, too. I only have four. I had a really stretch.
Yeah, me too. So, Avengers Annual, we start off with the Living Laser escaping prison.
Yeah, Tony Stark happens to be there implementing some security, some electric floors.
And can I just address something? This has been sure. bothering me since the issues where Tony went to Vietnam. So the U.S. Army has Tony Stark building weapons for them, including, as we saw most recently in Tales of Suspense, bullets that will always hit their target.
Right. Yeah, tracer bullets, which is not what tracer bullets are.
Right. How the fuck did America lose? I mean, like, you know.
I think that, like, that when they made this comic, basically, that they were like, you know, we're going to win this.
Yeah, I know.
So
I feel like at a certain point, you know, America just had to stop trying in this universe.
Yeah. Well, and that's something also, like, to bring up the Wonder Woman movie and the Captain America movie a little bit, if you're going to do something with real world events, it has to be like some sort of secret side thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wonder Woman, one of the things that it doesn't really work on to me is that she magically ends World War One.
Yeah.
Whereas, spoilers, sorry. But whereas Captain America, all of that could have feasibly happened and no one would have ever known about it.
Right.
And he doesn't fix World War Two. He just beats Red Skull, who's this whole side plot.
Yeah.
If you have Tony Stark working for the military, that's fine. You have to be working against specific side threats.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, hey, Tony Stark's going to win the war for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, sorry, that had just been bothering me since that issue. Yeah. So Tony Stark happens to be there. He uses a thing on his car that turns him invisible so he can change to Iron Man. And
yeah, which, like, it still doesn't work to me. Like, he gets in the car, they're like, oh, Tony Stark vanished, and then Iron Man came out of the car.
Yeah.
What happened?
Whatever.
What's going on here?
But so, Iron Man is about to intercede when Living Laser disappears. And he then reappears in the base of the Mandarin, who had been sneaking him parts to allow him to escape, which seems kind of stupid, because then couldn't he have just teleported him out of his jail cell?
Yes.
But
Mandarin's dumb.
Do what?
Mandarin's stupid in this issue.
Yeah.
His plan is stupid here too.
Yeah, it is.
So, but he's got Swordsman and Power Man and Enchantress and Executioner all hanging out at his base.
Yeah.
And Living Laser shows up, and he's like, "Hey, we're gonna do this. We're gonna go do this plan, guys." His plan. He shows them a giant diamond that he made, and is like, I need more diamonds to power this diamond. So we gotta go steal more diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how diamonds work. Diamonds don't have to even work. They're just rocks.
Yeah. Well, and so they each attack a place in the world. Like it's Executioner and Enchantress, Power Man and Swordsman, and then Living Laser and Ultimo.
Right.
And the Avengers are informed by Nick Fury. And it just so happens that Iron Man and Thor both show up because their villains have disappeared. And so they happen to be there with the new Avengers. And so you get, like, the Avengers All-Stars here, basically.
Right. I think it's everyone who's ever been an Avenger at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Except, like, Wonder Man.
He wasn't, like, a full-fledged Avenger, was he?
Well, he was attempting to join the team, and he was a probationary member, but...
Oh, yeah.
So...
Wasp sluts it up a bit, like, pretty... She's juicing in this week. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, she is all over every member of the team, like...
Yeah. Hey... All right, like, I'm not trying to slut shame here or anything, but maybe pump the brakes.
Yeah, like, I am by no means saying that domestic abuse is okay. But I will say that I kind of understand why Hank loses it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not defending his actions, but, like... I can understand why it happened.
Path is clear.
Yeah. The choices that were made are bad and should never be made. I can see why he has issues where Jan is concerned.
Yeah, I wrote down this quote. This is from the end of this issue. When all of the Avengers are hanging out, she's like, let's do this more. Or someone says, we should do this more often. And she says, sounds yummy. Where else can a gal be surrounded by so many groovy males?
Yeah.
Huh? And then next issue, she flirts with Hercules just to make Hank jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not functional relationship behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. This relationship is not. Good.
Anyway, so back to this. In South America, yeah, Swordsman and Power Man are there, and they make a giant sword appear over the city.
Yeah,
and they're like, "If Mr. President of this country, if you don't sign your country over to us, we'll crush your country with the sword."
But here's the thing. This is what bothers me. The Power Man is just like, man, as soon as that sword touches anything, it's going to explode. And I'm just like, then why does it have to be a fucking sword?
Branding, man. Branding.
But still, like, you can do so many, like, have a bunch of giant swords and just cut up the city or whatever. But, like, don't have a giant sword that explodes. That makes no fucking sense. But they're dealt with by Iron Man, Goliath, and Wasp.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, this is my favorite part of this issue, because Hercules and Scarlet Witch are fighting Executioner and Enchantress in Asia,
mm-hmm.
and Enchantress summons this creature that she's like, aha, I can only be defeated by this guardian. So Hercules throws Executioner at it.
Yeah.
And that works.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. Oh, man.
And then it's Thor and Hawkeye versus Living Laser. At which point, there's a random volcano, and Ultimo is just like, I've been here the whole time! So...
Watching. Waiting.
They get ready... Or they fight Ultimo and manage to knock him back into the lava and shit.
Yeah.
And so Captain America and Quicksilver go to Mandarin's space station and have a showdown with the Mandarin, during which the rest of the Avengers show up.
Mm-hmm.
The Mandarin turns on a ray that makes the Avengers fight whoever's closest. However, Wasp is closest to Mandarin.
And he didn't see.
Yeah. So she attacks him. The ray is shut off. And then the Mandarin tries to do something else, but he winds up blowing a hole in the side of the ship and gets sucked out into space.
And then the Avengers plug the hole with his giant, stupid, fake diamond.
Yeah.
Rather than going like, hey, well, let's use this space station as like a new Avengers headquarters in space or something like that, something cool.
Yeah.
They're like, let's hurl it into the sun.
Yeah. Like they bomb it or whatever, and it's just like, all right, well, guess that's over and done with.
Yeah, and then Wasp is like, my vagina's wet.
Mop it up, Jan. And then there are a bunch of pinups and stuff like that. Whatever. Yeah. So Avengers 45, we start out with a large, Avengers Day party.
Yeah, they're having a ceremony because they defeated Mandarin.
Yeah. So the Avengers are all there and partying. Cap is late because he's off doing something.
And the Super Adaptoid is waiting there for Cap.
Yeah. Super Adaptoid is in the audience and randomly
disguised
smoking
as a person.
Disguised as a person, and he's smoking a cigarette. So, I don't know. I found that odd.
Don't smoke, kids. Villains smoke.
Villains smoke. Good guys don't smoke, except when they do.
Except for the thing, and it's only cigars.
Yeah.
Or Punisher later, but he's sort of a bad guy also.
Yeah. They ask Hercules to join the team. He says yes. Thor and Iron Man leave, and then Captain shows up, and the Super Adaptoid attacks. What's kind of idiotic about this is each of the Avengers tries to fight him individually.
Yeah.
Which raises the question, why even have a fucking team? But eventually, what?
The Quicksilver realizes that, Adaptoid can only use one or two powers at once, so let's all gang rush him, and he'll have to use more powers.
Yeah.
And so then he overloads himself.
Yeah. And of course, in this issue, one of my favorite things is the fact that, the area is cleared by the police, but after the fight starts, people start sneaking back in. And it's just kind of like, I am not going to feel sorry for you if you get killed by
an android.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was really an odd issue, but I enjoyed the defeat of the Super Adaptoid, but more than anything, I enjoyed the people who literally had no self-preservation instinct whatsoever.
Alright, so now we're into this run of Tales to Astonish, which is one of the worst things I've ever read. This is, like, I'm having flashbacks to the early, like, Strange Tales and stuff.
Yeah.
Because holy crap. Let's do this a story at a time.
Right.
So let's do Namor first, get this garbage out of the way. Namor announces war against the surface again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorma's all like, wait, but why? And Namor says, so that people like me. Basically, he's like, the Atlanteans need to trust me again.
Yeah.
And then Dorma gets a messenger missile, which I guess is the primary means of communication in Marvel Universe at this point.
Well, I sent you a missile. Well, why didn't you just call?
We don't have phones underwater. It just, that doesn't work. Missiles do work, though.
Yeah.
It's some asshole dictator that wants to ally with Namor. About which Namor is insulted. He's like, how dare this surface worlder want to ally with me? I'm going to go fight him.
Yeah.
So he goes to fight him, and it's this guy, Dragor, who has this weaselly lieutenant, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this guy, what's going on? Fights Dragor. Dragor is actually an android that's being controlled by the lieutenant the whole time.
Yep.
And, yay, okay.
Didn't we do this in Avengers already?
Yeah, I don't know. This is just like... I don't know if they knew that the book was ending or what, but, like, these stories suck.
Yeah.
Like, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So then in 95, there's some humans that build an underwater dome city, and Namor's mad at that.
This is why I fucking hate Namor, okay?
Because anytime anyone tries to do anything, he's pissed about it.
Well, first of all, like, they built this place near Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
It's built. Like, does nobody in Atlantis pay attention to anything that's going on nearby?
It's a giant dome city underwater.
Yeah.
This can't have just sprung up overnight.
Yeah. Like, you're surrounded on all sides by, like, Krang and Atuma and various other dangers. Do you ever just go on patrol to make sure nobody's lurking out there?
No.
But apparently they somehow missed an entire city being built. And then, so, in the course of things, Namor has this conversation with Dr. Newell.
He's like, we need to build here. And Namor's like, no.
Yeah. Because Newell is just like, well, we want to use it for resources and things because the surface world is getting worse and we're going to reach a point where we need the ocean to, and Namor's just like, so what, you're going to rip off my shit? But, so Namor refuses the whole thing and they're about to leave when suddenly a giant submarine attacks. And it turns out to be the Plunderer who's attacking and trying to rob everybody of their valuables.
Yeah, as if this book could not get more boring, they use the Plunderer for this whole plot.
Yeah, and this is what pisses me off about Namor, is so Plunderer is attacking, the glass dome around the city is cracked. Dorma is just like, Namor, why don't you go rescue all of those people? And Namor's like, no, fuck them, they're surface dwellers. Like, perish now or perish when I attack, it doesn't really matter. But then, like, the Plunderer starts firing on an escape pod, and Namor's like, oh, fuck no, that is not okay. So either this is the most... the most inconsistent morality, or Namor is pissed that the Plunderer took away his opportunity to watch these people drown.
But yeah, like, it seems like we're reading a book about a villain and we're meant to think he's a hero.
Yeah. And it would be fine if he would just be consistent. But even over the course of this storyline, he's just like, we're going to attack the surface. And then a bunch of Atlantean subs go after a sub. And he's like, no, don't. That'll be an act of war. But I thought you wanted war. What the fuck? And then at the end, he's just like, time for war. And it's like either have him be a villain or have him be a hero. But this in-between shit is not working.
Yeah, it's, oh my god, it's so stupid. So then in 96, he sits around and thinks about going to war again, but Vati convinces him to go after the Plunderer first.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's on his way there, and he stumbles across his mother's grave, mm-hmm. and visits that, and then goes after the plunderer, who's on Skull Island in the Savage Land.
Mm-hmm.
And he fights a plesiosaurus on the way in. And my big takeaway from this issue is that Skull Island is way too cool a headquarters for the Plunderer to have.
It really is. The Plunderer, if the Plunderer has to have an island, the face on the side of it should just be a vaguely interested face with, like, its hands upraised, just like, eh. Like...
Yeah. Plunderer has retreated to Shrug Island.
Yeah. So,
to the nation of meh. the sort of dangerous land.
Yeah.
Namor's captured.
Yeah. And this has two of my favorite things.
Yeah.
First of all is the fact that we see one of Plunderer's underlings. Now, in the past, we've seen Plunderer's underlings, and they've always had a suit similar to Plunderer, like mm-hmm. a full cowl and stuff like that. Here we see one of his underlings named Logar, who does not have the full cowl and has, like, a bowl cut right. sticking out. And I'm just like, man, I kind of feel like you should cover that up.
yeah.
But then also he's got muscular men who are just hanging around the shores of Skull Island wearing nothing but like the Speedo part of the suit and the boots and gloves. And then of course a mask. So I think we get a lot more information about Plunderer than they intended to give us.
Yeah. Yes. And then, like, I love how he's captured here.
Yeah.
Also, because he's like, he busts into Skull Island, he beats the shit out of the Plunderer,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "All right, I win." And then, Dorma's like, "Oh no, help!" or someone's like, "You need to go help Dorma." He's like, "Wait a minute, let me go check." Goes underwater. Dorma's like, "I'm fine. What are you doing here?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Okay, well, just checking. I'm going to go back to the Plunderer." Goes back, and then Plunderer gets the drop on him.
Yeah. And here we have Dorma being Dorma, wherein she goes back to Atlantis at Namor's command. And when she gets there, Vashti shows her a view screen, because apparently they have cameras inside the Plunderer's hideout.
Of course they do, yeah.
Where she sees Namor, who has now been captured, and the Plunderer talking. And while Namor is telling Plunderer to fuck off, Dorma and Vashti arrive at the conclusion that Namor has betrayed Atlantis
mm-hmm.
and sided with the Plunderer.
Right.
I don't know how she arrives at that. Like, I don't understand
yeah,
the mental
and that
arithmetic.
Happens over the course of this and the next, in of 96 and 97.
Yeah.
He's banished by the end of 97 for allying with the Plunderer, allegedly.
Yeah.
In 97, though, Plunderer just basically brags about all his shit to Namor.
Yeah.
While his minions get mugged by swamp savages.
Yep.
And the minions take his vibro gun thing and blow a hole in the wall. And then Namor beats Plunderer up again. And then one of the swamp guys is on top of the building and drops a rock on Namor.
Yeah.
And then sets fire to the building. So, cool.
Yeah.
But then on the way out, Namor rescues the Prince of the Swamp Men, and they're like, "You will always have friends in the Savage Land."
Yeah, and Namor is brooding because that's all he ever does.
Yeah.
And the Plunderer somehow decides that Namor is destroyed. And so he's like, fuck it, let's attack Atlantis.
Yeah, so then 98, he does that. And I actually really love the cover to 98. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's all blue and really neat. But then also, so Namor has clearly not seen Blackfish, because this basically just opens up with him beating up a whale.
Yeah.
He just beats a whale up and then subjugates it and then rides it. He can talk to the thing. He can talk to sea life.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He doesn't even try. He just beats it up.
Yeah. The killer whale comes in, and he could have been like, hey, knock it off, I'm Namor. And the killer whale would have been like, oh, sorry, can I offer you a ride? But instead, he just immediately starts wailing on this thing. And,
pun not intended?
No.
Yeah, so Plunder attacks Atlantis, and then meanwhile, a human sub... I say as though Plunder is not human.
Right.
A sub drops some depth charges, and they hit Plunderer just by chance, but Namor's also just, like, getting there, and so it knocks him back. And he's knocked unconscious from the explosion, and Plunder escapes in, like, this stupid mini-sub.
Yeah.
And then Atlantis is like, well, let's go to war without Namor.
Yeah.
Let's even though that warmongering dictator is gone, let's all go to the war with the surface.
Yeah, so they send off a bunch of subs after the US sub. And so in 99, Submariner sees this and he tries to stop them.
Yeah, there's one of them that has a device called a hurricane inducer that presumably does what it is implied, and that's the worst weapon that they have. And so Namor bursts onto the ship and tries to stop it. And he destroys it, but they stun him and he crashes the ship into a stone wall and gets out, like, right at the last second. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yay, Namor.
Yeah. So...
So that all sucks. It's another to go back.
And so, the end of this is, like, Namor the Atlanteans think that Namor sacrificed himself to save them. And Namor is just like, I have to prove to my people that I'm not a traitor by going to war with the surface world.
Again, yep. And we get it. Oh my god.
Yeah, this is absolutely the worst. And it's got art by Bill Everett, who is just not doing very well here.
No. It's... and then the Hulk ones... Like I are drawn by Marie Severin, but they're inked by Herb Trimpe, which I didn't realize until a few issues in. I don't think he's a very good inker.
No, there's a lot of Marie Severin's art here that I really didn't like, and I think that's down to him. A lot of the faces looked really good. But some of the bodies, like, they were turned strangely. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the first issue, which is 94, Hulk is wandering around, and he's, like, bemoaning his lot in life to the stars and wishing he could go literally anywhere else, which is where we left him at the end of the last issue. And there are these random hunters that he stumbles across who are collecting animals and shipping them off.
So the High Evolutionary, who you may remember, shot out into space a few issues back.
Yeah.
His turning people into highly evolved animals people has backfired on him because they started acting like animals. So he's trying to find more animals to turn into people to fight the animals that have started acting like animals.
Right. Yeah.
This guy thinks things through.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, super genius.
Yeah.
High evolutionary.
Master
of the human genome and other genomes.
The hunters inform the High Evolutionary that the Hulk is nearby, and the High Evolutionary commands them to capture the Hulk, mm-hmm. and tells them, hey, if you can do this, that's it. You no longer have to serve me. And they're just like, fuck yeah, okay. So
two random hunters take down the Hulk.
Yeah, they've got these gas guns, and they shoot them at him, and it knocks him out.
Yeah, these two randos succeed where the entire U.S. military has failed.
Right. Ugh, excuse me. Mm.
So they launch Hulk into space. They send him to the High Evolutionary's spaceship that's on its way. And Hulk's kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
So remind him of this in 50 years when Reed does the same thing.
Yeah. And there's Sir Ram, one of the few elevated animals that is still loyal, yeah. Who's actually piloting the ship. And this is kind of one of those weird Namor-esque moments, in that the Hulk wakes up and breaks out of his bonds and knocks the shit out of Sir Ram.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in and finds out that he's in deep space and has no idea where he's being sent or anything else, okay? So then at the beginning of the Hulk story in number 95, Sir Ram comes to as the High Evolutionary is warning them that the ship is about to fly into a cosmic storm cosmic radiation storm.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Ram is just like, oh shit, tries to turn out of it, and manages it, but not before being exposed to lethal doses of radiation. At which point the Hulk is just like, he could have been Hulk's friend, and it's just like, I think you're jumping the gun there. Like, your only interaction with him was knocking him out and causing his death.
Yeah, see, when Hulk acts this way, though, like, it doesn't bother me because he's dumb as fuck.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree.
That's okay. Namor ostensibly is a smart guy and a competent leader.
Yeah.
Ostensibly. He doesn't do a lot to demonstrate that.
Yeah. But so, the radiation causes Hulk to turn into Banner. So that when the ship arrives on what is now called Wundagore 2, the High Evolutionary is like, who the fuck are you? Where's the Hulk? And
he's like, no, I'm the Hulk. He's yeah. like, you, sir, are no Hulk. But he puts him in a tube that prevents his transformation at that point. I don't really know why he did that.
Well, he used a ray on him that prevented him from being able to do anything, including transform. Then he put him in a tube where he was going to advance his evolution by 10 million years.
Oh, well, that's a stupid plan, too.
God, I'm sorry. I am yawning like a son of a bitch.
That's okay. It's these dumb stories.
No, it's I haven't been sleeping very well because I got this pillow that was supposed to be unable to be flattened,
mm-hmm.
Which is bullshit, Target, and it flattened out, and so now my neck is killing me.
You should sue them.
So
96, yeah, the new men, the animals, the advanced animals, are called the new men. They attack the High Evolutionary, and Banner can't turn back into Hulk, so High Evolutionary just fights them himself.
Yeah.
And one of the new men I don't know. One of the new men picks him up, and he starts wrecking. Picks up Banner, and he turns into Hulk, and starts wrecking them while High Evolutionary recovers. And so then he stumbles into his lab and goes like, "Oh, I'll use the evolutionary machine on myself and become some sort of god." Yeah. Then he like says he's better than everyone else. And turns them back, all of them back into animals, and teleports Hulk back into Earth and shoots himself into space. He's just like, "I'm too good for this. Goodbye."
Yeah, and we leave Hulk literally right where we started from, with him like sitting there, just like, "Hulk is so unhappy. No one will leave Hulk alone. I wish I could go to space." And it's just like, well, that was a fun, pointless little diversion. So then in number 97, Hulk is jumping and crashes into a plane. So
he rescues the pilot so that people don't think he murdered him.
Yeah. He puts a splint on his leg and all this stuff. The pilot is, when the pilot comes to, he's terrified for a minute, but then, like, realizes that the Hulk had helped him. And so he's like, "Hey, I'm on my way to my group, the Lords of the Living Lightning. You should come with me." So Hulk takes him to the base, and when they get there, the leader of the Lords of the Living Lightning sees that Hulk is coming and is just like, "I can totally use this guy. He's an idiot." So he greets the Hulk and offers him friendship and says, "Hey, you could have a home here. We are trying to work toward peace on Earth, and no one here is going to hunt you or hurt you or anything like that."
Yeah,
and Hulk, being an idiot, says, "Yeah, of course."
Right. Meanwhile, Glenn Talbot is spying on the Lightning League.
Yeah, because he's been reassigned by General Ross.
Right, and he sees Hulk with them. He's like, "Oh my God, Hulk's a spy! I totally knew it."
Yeah. So, but Talbot is of course caught because he's terrible at this.
This guy is a desk jockey officer. Why are you sending him for field work as a spy?
Yeah. But they drag him before the Lord of the Living Lightning, and the Lord tells the Hulk that Talbot is their enemy, and he's like, "You should go destroy the missile base." And Hulk does. So in 98, we have him attacking
for
Ross.
For peace, mind you. He's like, "I will attack you for peace."
Right. Hulk is tearing the place up, and Ross is trying to muster his forces to fend him off. And sorry, I had to get rid of something and had to switch away from my notes. But he confines Betty to quarters, the Lords storm the base, which is odd to me because it's like, you have the Hulk doing it already. Why would you even show up?
Yeah, they also don't have enough guys to take on this whole army.
Yeah.
So they go in there, and they call Ross from his office, and they're like, look at me, I'm the captain now. which Ross says basically, "Fuck you, I'll come to my office and beat you up."
Yeah.
But then he puts the Lord of the Living Lightning puts Betty in a cell with Hulk and tells Ross, "Look at the monster's in there with your daughter. It'll suck when he wakes up." And he murders her.
See, the,
or something else.
This whole talking about this storyline is difficult because you have the Lords of the Living Lightning.
Yeah.
And then, of course, their leader, who is the leader of the Lords of the Living Lightning.
He's the Lord... I don't know. They go back and forth on this. In my notes, because they use these terms at one point, but they switch back and forth. I call him the Lord of the Living Lightning, and I call the rest of them the Lightning League. Which they use several times, but they don't stick with it.
Yeah, because other times it's just they're all Lords of the Living Lightning.
Right.
And... all I can say, I guess, is long live the leader of the Lords of the Living Lightning.
Fuck you. Look at me. I'm the captain.
So then in 99, Betty is locked up with the Hulk, and...
Hulk wakes up and the guard's like, hey, Betty's evil. You should murder her. And he's like... you're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing you could tell Hulk that will make him murder you.
Yeah. So a bunch of them burst in and blast the Hulk with these lightning weapons, which somehow causes him to change back into Bruce Banner. Mm-hmm.
But they're like, fuck, we lost the Hulk. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Talbot... somehow escapes and puts on one of their costumes, and he rounds up everybody, and Banner tells Ross, hey, look, the Hulk is the only one who's powerful enough to stop them, because they're getting ready to launch a bunch of missiles at the missile base. Right. So they bring Bruce a version of his gamma device. He loads himself up with gamma radiation and turns into the Hulk. And then the rest is just mop-up. Like, he jumps his way over to the Lords of the Living Lightning's base, or I guess the Lords of the Living Lightning's lair. Yeah. And cause their missiles detonate within the base... wiping out all of the Lords.
Yeah, and we end with Hulk trapped under some rubble.
And everyone is just like, well, I guess he's dead. Yeah. So,
well, that's a neat little package.
The Lords of the Living Lightning are laid low.
Loser.
So why don't we go ahead and take a break, and okay. When we come back, we will... thankfully, move on to other things. All right, we're back.
Okay.
So now we go from the god-awful Tales to Astonish into the god-awful Daredevil.
Yep.
Daredevil number 33 starts with Matt coming off of his battle against Mr. Hyde and Cobra.
Mm-hmm. And the Beetle is robbing an armored car. And
yeah.
He just happens to be swinging by.
Yeah.
And so he loses to Beetle outright because he's so tired, basically. Yeah. And then we get more Mike Murdock shit, and oh my god, this needs to fucking stop.
Yeah.
I looked this up, and it goes on for another 8 issues.
8 is doable, but I'd rather it end.
Right. I'd rather it stops now, but we have 8 more issues of this. 41 is the last appearance of Mike Murdock. And this guy, like, I don't know, it was a perspective that... I guess I didn't really think of that, like, this guy was saying that, you know, we look at it as adults and we think that this is stupid as fuck and, like, why, you know, why are they doing this? But when he was a kid, he thought it was great. Even when he was a teenager, he was like, oh, yeah, like, I wish that I could do this, you know, Matt Murdock is sort of like a little shy and reserved, and Mike is just everything that he wants to be. He's confident and he flirts all the time and he calls his friend fat and they like kids wanted to be Mike. So like I don't know if that was something that they got a lot of positive response to at the time.
I don't know.
But
there's it's one dumb now. There's one major tenet of my life or that I live my life by that kind of negates that. Kids are stupid.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyway, Mike suggests that he, Foggy, and Karen travel to Montreal to go to the 1967 World's Fair.
And they're I can't go on a plane though. I want to go on this train.
Yeah.
For no good reason. I have to go on a train.
Yeah. And so on the way north, it turns out that the train is also shipping some jewels to the World's Fair, which of course means it's attacked by the Beetle. Mike, Matt, oh God, I'm even referring to him as a different character. Daredevil gives chase, and they say at the beginning of the issue that it is supposed to be like the best chase you've ever seen.
Yeah, no. It's right on the cover. Yeah.
No,
it's on the cover though.
But it's a lie. It's a terrible lie.
But it's right on there.
There are a whole lot of better chases out there. Off the top of my head, the chase with the Russians from Rock and Rolla. Boom. Yeah. Better chase automatically.
The car chase from Ronin.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, sorry.
Most of the movie, The Italian Job.
Yeah. So, Daredevil tries to follow Beetle through various untamed wilderness, eventually landing in a town where everybody is hiding.
Yeah, it's presumed, like, it seems like it's just an old west town that's just there, that there's a bunch of people there that just attack him, and then you find out that they're the Beetle's henchmen.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where we leave things in 33. 34, Daredevil tries to fight them, and he does okay, but he winds up
pretty all right. And then Beetle hits him from behind.
He winds up being defeated, and they decide that they're going to take him to the World's Fair Expo and unmask him on national television.
Right.
So
which they just go there and put up a sign saying they're going to unmask Daredevil. They don't have to, like, put in approval for a booth.
There's no permits involved.
Right. They don't have to get permission from the event. Sign up a year in advance. None of that.
Yeah, apparently the World's Fair is something you can just show up to and just be like, I want to do this. And they'll just be like,
get up on the stage.
You do you, man. You do you.
It's about freedom. This is America. it's Canada. I mean,
it's close.
Right.
We're right above America. It's America with fewer guns. Daredevil goes along with it. Like, when they're tying him up, he goes all rigid so that he can get himself free at any time. They put him on the stage, and he proceeds to bust out of the ropes. And he battles them on live television. And everybody's just like, man, if this were real, it'd be really cool.
And Foggy's like, oh, it is real, and I can't let this happen to Mike, and goes and knocks him over the head, Beetle over the head.
Yeah.
And that gives Daredevil the opening he needs to kick his ass, basically.
Yeah.
And then they end with a day at the Expo Center, just hanging out.
Yeah. One thing I did forget to mention is during this we do get an origin of the Beetle, which
I thought we had before. This is like a recap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the fairly it's a bog standard Marvel origin, which is to say, pissant inventor gets tired of being pushed around, and so he invents a thing that allows him to take revenge on the world, or become rich, or whatever it is he's trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. So
that was crap. I hated that so much.
It was, but it was not the worst thing that we've had this week. Like, this is just not a good week.
It is not.
So Avengers 46.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you about to say?
I was going to say there's a few high points here or there, but even those are
There's not a single full good issue.
Yeah.
So Avengers 46, we start with Cap pining over Agent 13, going like, ah, but I don't even know her name, and she's a spy. How do I find it? I don't know what to do. And then Black Widow shows up, but she's like, I'm giving up being Black Widow and just being a wife for Hawkeye is what I'm going to do. And then Jan, dumb slut that she is, walks her chauffeur right into Avengers HQ, and they're like, are you, should he be here? And she's like, he's fine, but he's not fine.
Yeah.
Because he's human top.
Yeah. Except now he has a new costume.
Right.
He's and a new name. Yeah. Finally.
And he has the iconic costume that we know and love at this point.
Well, we know.
Yeah. This has been featured in games. So this has been a video game boss at this point. So
yeah.
The
Avengers all go their separate ways. Cap and Quicksilver are going to go to a game. You know, Hawkeye and Hercules Black Widow are going to go for a walk with Wanda and Hercules.
Yeah, and Hercules is all shaved, and Wasp is like, how dreamy.
Yeah. And
and everyone is talking about quitting the Avengers and having a normal life.
Yeah. And what frustrates me is throughout the issues this week, they keep saying, like, this issue precedes Tales of Suspense number blah blah blah, where Cap renounces his identity. And it's just like, okay, so Cap renounces his identity, apparently. Yeah. But so all that's left in Avengers Mansion is Goliath and Wasp. And here we see Goliath, sort of the first hints of Goliath's inferiority complex.
These are the first hints. It wasn't that he had to turn himself into a giant.
Well, I mean, this is the first time they're voiced.
Okay.
I should say. I'm sorry. Because now that the team has Hercules, he's just like, well, they don't really need me anymore. So he's got to find a way to make himself useful and blah, blah, blah. While they're working, Whirlwind proceeds to drill through the wall using just, I don't know, his feet or whatever. Or maybe his helmet. Maybe that's what that stupid fucking helmet is for.
It's his whole body. Yeah. But Hank has a shrink ray just set up in his lab. And Whirlwind uses it on Hank and Jan, and which they can't change size when he does that, and Jan doesn't have her wings.
Yeah.
And he picks them up and tosses them into an ant farm full of red ants that Hank has.
Now, this is basic lab safety.
Right.
if you are going to build a shrink ray, take your lessons from the documentary Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I knew you were going to say that.
Put some controls on it.
Right.
That it can't just accidentally go off. From
coming through the window and turning your children into basically
ant food. But because they took out the insect control elements of their helmets in order to do whatever it was Hank was doing, they are no longer able to communicate with the ants at all.
Just trapped in this ant hill, not able. So they're fighting these ants, and Whirlwind plants a bomb, and then Quicksilver comes in and starts fighting Whirlwind, and Whirlwind kind of has the drop on him and is monologuing. He's saying how great he is, and then catches a shield to the face.
Yeah,
and it interrupts his speech bubble.
Yeah,
she's like, "I, Whirlwind, will forever be the master of king." Right in the, I'm bleeding.
Oh God, by those.
But then Jan kills the queen ant by accident, and she didn't know it was the queen. And then the ants make her their queen.
Yeah,
I don't think that's how that works.
It isn't. Plus, why was the queen even there? She should just
be off giving birth over and over.
This is why she has soldier ants, is so that she doesn't have to deal with this shit herself and put herself in harm's way. But instead, this is a very proactive queen, apparently.
Right.
But anyway,
she's a wartime queen.
Yeah. they managed to get a message to Cap and Quicksilver about the bomb.
Mm-hmm. And Quicksilver takes the bomb and runs it out to the river.
Yeah, just barely making it. But on the way, like, people are talking shit about him. like they're just like, who's that? Oh, it's Quicksilver.
Oh,
that
him.
Fucking mutant.
Yeah, what I hate dick. Mutants. All the other Avengers are humans, or at least gods or something. I don't know. But not him, that white-haired dandy.
Yeah. And, like, this one and 45 both kind of have Quicksilver getting really bitter.
Yeah. I don't really know where this comes from.
Yeah. It's just, like, it's... Because, you know, it's always been, like, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, cool, whatever. You know, it's fine. But
I
mean, out of nowhere...
I know they part ways at some point. You know, because she's an Avenger for far longer than he is.
Right.
And he goes and joins X-Factor.
Well, that's a ways later. Away. Yeah. But...
I mean, and I think he goes back to helping his dad, too.
I don't recall.
I don't know either. Yeah.
But anyway. In the end, Goliath is just like, I'll be both Ant-Man and Goliath. And it's like...
You are, like...
You were. You...
Stop getting hung up on your fucking identity, really. Like...
Yeah.
Just, you need to find yourself, is what you need to do. You need to go take some time in the woods or something.
Yeah. Go on one of those retreats where you howl.
Yeah. Or maybe one of the silent ones, you know, that everyone just doesn't talk for a week.
Yeah.
All right, so we wrap up here with a run of Fantastic Four, and
see, even, you know, like, we were just talking about how Fantastic Four is in something of a golden age.
Yeah.
And now we get this.
Fantastic Four was awesome before this, and then we get four issues of garbage.
Yeah, it's, not only is it not good, but it's redundant, because, I mean, you know, it basically comes down to Ben being brainwashed, and we've already done that.
Right. So it starts out that Ben's all worried about Alicia seeing, Alicia wouldn't love me if she saw what I actually looked like. but he still feels like rocks. I think she knows.
She knows. Like, she's not just like, oh, I'm sure he's so dreamy. Like, right.
Something's not going to magically happen. She gets her sight, and she goes like, oh. I thought the dreamboats felt like rocks. there's a chemist that Reed is bringing in to help work on Ben's problem.
The Great Santini.
Right. And he gets captured by we don't know who, but it's totally not the Mad Thinker. And him, because he's like surrounded by androids. Like, they could not have forecasted this more.
Yeah.
Aside from him going like, I think that I will get one over on Reed.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And this issue is just a whole lot of, like, there's a scene with Johnny fighting off some guys who are into Crystal, and...
Yeah, well, that scene also is incredibly homoerotic under the surface.
Yeah.
Like, they're compensating. They're like, man, I do sure love chicks and not boys. Let's wrestle.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Man, if I had a chick, I would suck her dick. I mean, wait. Chicks have those, right?
Yeah, but they're like patting each other's butts. And I forget what they call each other, but like, they're like, you stop it, boy. But like, it's really, really innuendo laden. I think unintentionally, but like, whew.
Was it unintentional though?
I don't know. But like, if I were Crystal there, I would go like, should I go? Is this gonna turn into an orgy that I'm just gonna watch?
It's just like, and if it did, imagine just like, you know, so do you want me to join in or no? But okay. I can, no, we're good. It's just like, but I can, just get out of here, sister. But anyway, the bulk of the issue is like, oh, Ben is sad, and yeah. Reed and Sue are trying to make him feel better, and right. they do... And but blah, then
the
blah, blah.
The mystery hypnotist disguises himself as Reed's chemist friend and goes to the Baxter building. It's like, I am your chemist friend, the Great Santini.
Yes.
And you totally believe me, smartest man in the world.
And even, like, even if we didn't know that this guy was a fake, like, he even says, like, I promise you, after this experiment, you will feel, or you will be an entirely different person. And it's just like, come the fuck on!
Yeah.
So
they try the chemical treatment on Ben, and it doesn't work because he altered it and used it to make Ben mad.
Yeah. And,
so Fantastic Four 69 is basically could be encapsulated in Ben going, you hate me, Reed.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
We see that Santini is the Mad Thinker. No fucking duh.
The one bright spot in this is that there is a scene where Thing is climbing a building. Mm-hmm. And there's like planes shooting at him.
He wrecks half of New York.
Yeah.
Like, I think he causes more damage in this scene than the Hulk has caused up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Mad Thinker is basically left to his own devices in the Baxter building, and stumbles onto the machine that has the negative zone. He's like, you've got the negative zone. He's done it.
Yeah.
And I will take this, but I don't have time, so I gotta get out. And then Santini himself tries to ask an android for help but can't get out. And then Thing puts a coat on and vanishes into the crowd.
Yeah, because This is what I don't get. And they do this with Thing, and they do this with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I'm not saying that a coat and hat can't be useful from a distance. But if anyone's, like, right by you, they're gonna know what you are.
Yeah.
Clearly. That's a terrible disguise. You have no nose. You have, like, you have giant, rocky arms and legs. Like,
the ground crunches when you walk.
Yeah.
No one's fooled by this.
Yeah, but, so in number 70,
They all go. Reed, Sue, and Johnny go to the Thinker's old hideout, which he still is using.
Yep.
He just uses his old place. Way to think ahead.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that the Thing is a villain now, and so he smashes some cars to prove them wrong. And, I mean, Ben just kind of runs from the cops this whole time and wrecks things while the others, like, make their way into the hideout, and then Reed just fist fights the Thinker.
Yeah.
And beats him because he has powers.
Yeah. And it's kind of, so Reed sends Sue away, like, she doesn't go. She has to go back to the Baxter building.
Yeah.
Because she's pregnant.
Which I forgot she was pregnant also.
Until, yeah.
It's a miracle she still is.
Well, that, like, yeah.
There's so much stress. They might as well have fought a villain named Gut Puncher.
So, yeah. So they lure the Thing to the Baxter building, and while they are, the Mad Thinker's in a jail cell and uses a remote to turn on one of his androids.
Yeah, fucking take his watch away.
Like, I swear they do that anyway when you're being processed. Like,
yeah.
But whatever. But anyway, so they try to restore Ben to normal.
But they're like, oh no, we accidentally killed him and he's dead.
Yeah. At which point,
android busts through the wall.
The android busts through the wall and Sue enters, and that's where we leave it. And the next issue does not begin the way you think. So the next issue is called And So It Ends. So here you go, folks. Last issue of Fantastic Four. So everybody's knocked out, and Invisible Girl is facing down one of the Thinker's big old androids. And she turns invisible. And so the android, who has apparently not been programmed to know anything about the Fantastic Four, just goes, oh, okay, and starts heading for Reed. So Sue turns one of Reed's inventions on the android, which doesn't really do a ton, but it gives them time to revive everybody. Finally, the robot starts using something other than just sight to keep track of Sue. And that's when Thing gets involved and,
he's like, hey, what's wrong? Why are you guys all mad at me?
Basically. Yeah. But he knocks the robot clear out of the building. But Johnny and Reed still think he's under the Mad Thinker's control and is attacking Sue. So they come to their rescue, and Reed is just like, all right, I'm fucking done, and starts winding up to lay Ben out. But they, I forget what happens. They, he's just like, no, no, it's really me or something. And then
the android comes back.
The android comes back. And
they basically just push it into the negative zone.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And at the end, like, Reed runs over to Sue. Crystal runs over to Ben and Johnny. And Reed is just like, I can't do this anymore. Sue's pregnant and we're in danger all the time. The Fantastic Four, we're quitting. We're done.
Good. That's very sensible.
Yeah.
Like, you should have probably done this earlier.
As soon as you found out she was pregnant.
Right. It should have been like, okay, we're just going to go to Hawaii and stay there, hiding in the woods.
Yeah.
That's where you go to get away from things, I guess.
Yeah. That's your answer for everything, Adam.
Yeah.
Just go to the woods.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's this week. Yay.
It's finally over.
So that's all of my top fives. This week's over. Okay, so my number five, to go into top five.
Adam and JR's top five.
Top five.
My number five is Johnny's Totally Not Gay Boys Club from Fantastic Four, number 68. Number four is the cover of Tales to Astonish, number 98. Number three is Whirlwind catching a shield to the face mid-monologue, Avengers 46. Number two is an ongoing thing that that happened, I think, three times this week and happened several times last week, and that is Hank Pym reminding everybody that he's a biochemist.
I know.
Like, he's just like, hey, did you know, everybody, did you pay attention, did you know I'm a biochemist?
Yeah, like, I was actually going to say something about that to you, because it's like, in 45, he's just like, well, I'm a biochemist, not a blah, blah, blah. But my opinion is that it's like, we get it. For fuck's sake, Hank.
We know how great you are. For fuck's sake. Yeah. And then my number one is Hercules using Executioner as a projectile weapon in Avengers Annual.
Nice. Well, my number five is Dorma being Dorma and immediately turning against Namor.
Nice.
Number four is High Evolutionary's plans to tamper with In God's Domain weirdly going wrong.
Unforeseen.
Yeah, it's just like, I have no idea how this happened. Number three is the King Kong homage with Thing. Number two is Namor the Hypocrite, just like, no, I wanted to watch them drown. And my number one is those kids sneaking back into Central Park.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on, there's a super battle going on. I wish one of them had caught like an arrow to the face or something, you know?
Yeah.
But, well, it's kind of a pity that this week sucked so hard because, you know, coming back after a week off and just having to be like, well, this sucked and this sucked.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it for us this week.
Do we know what's coming up? Anything exciting?
I know the next issue of Amazing Spider-Man is going to be Spider-Man No More.
Ah, yeah. Spider-Man 50.
That's all I know it offhand. I haven't really looked.
Yeah, it looks like we have a Silver Surfer as the next Fantastic Four issue, so maybe something decent from that. It looks like some X-Men. We get the costume change from X-Men, finally. That's
cool.
So that's something.
Yeah.
But
cool. All
right.
Well, like us on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter, at WatchersGuideMU. Our website, as always, is watchersguide.com. You can email us at watchersguide@gmail.com. And that's it for us. So have a marvelous week.
Bye.